MJ.
I'm Adrian.
And together we are the Two Crazy Cat Ladies. I'm gonna cut you.
I think I just peed.
Buckle up.
We're back in the closet.
Welcome to another episode of Back in the Closet with the Two Crazy Cat Ladies. Guys, today we are joined by one of our favorite humans on the planet.
Oh, hands down.
Hands down. You guys, most of you guys already know her and love her. It's Pam Roussel with Perfectly Holistic. We have been friends for so long now. Pam, what is it, like 5 years or something?
4 years. I think 4 years.
4 years. We've been trying to like conquer the cat world together. And we are so grateful that you were able to come on our podcast now so that we can discuss all things cats. So we were trying to figure out what a good topic was, and we decided just to reach out to you guys. We made a simple Facebook post, and man, there were like 80 different comments. So we scoured through them, and many of them were the same. So we tried to like make a list of different things that we can bring value to you guys as cat parents, so that you can learn more than just usually just one topic that we talk about on our podcast. But this is going to be all kinds of topics. So stay tuned, keep listening. So you guys can get some answers that will help you with your kitties. For those of you guys that might not know who Pam Roussel is, listening on Spotify and Apple, please, Pam, give us a little intro.
Well, I am servant to four cats. Number one job title, servant. I have a passion for holistic health and, of course, cats. And so I blended them together. I learned all that I could and continue to learn about helping myself as well as other pet parents, cat parents, apply and implement more of a holistic approach with their cat's behavior, health, emotional, you know, condition, spiritual condition, whatever it is that they're working on, so that we can be more empowered, you know, and we can find more natural approaches for helping to support them and the things that they go through, maybe the conditions that they have, instead of having to rely on more of a conventional approach, which, you know, sometimes there needs to be a blend. And sometimes there may not need to be a conventional approach. We can address things a different way and get some great results. Yeah. So I love energy healing work. I love the spiritual side of what I do. And that's kind of what I do.
It's kind of understatement. I know that so many folks that are joining us right here on Facebook and YouTube probably have what I like to call Pam in their pocket, where we have consult you for any number of things that our babies are going through. So this is just such a pleasure to have you for this rapid fire, because there are, you know, every cat is an individual. I love that you approach all the work that you do as that cat being an individual. And so many of these issues that we're going to talk about right now are things that many people are going through with different, you know, a different environment, a different kind of energy, a different kind of cat in general, and trying to get to the root of those issues so that everyone is happier and healthier is really exciting.
Yeah. So let's jump in with that intro right there, because it's true, right? One of the number one questions that we always get every single day, you probably as well, and one of the number one questions here on the comments was about cats going outside the box. And it's interesting, right? Because we're talking about on an individual level, there's a lot of different reasons why cats will start, you know, urinating or eliminating outside of the box. What is like some of the most common reasons that you find, and what are some tips that you have found the most successful?
And Pam, question.
We're going to load you up on questions before we let you answer.
Right. but address what you see as the difference between a cat peeing outside the box and pooping outside the box.
Oh, yeah.
They made notes. No, I'm kidding. I see like most common is fear. It's an environmental issue, whether that is stress between other household pets, stress from the energy that we, the owners, are putting into our environment. because it ends up being like a shadow energy that's very scary and very looming and dark, and they sense and pick up these energies. If there's a lot of dissonance between animals, you'll see litter box guarding, you'll see them peeing in certain, like marking, spraying, things like that. They're putting their scent everywhere so they will feel safe. And so we can't look at it like they're being a bad cat. We have to look at it from their perspective and go, why are you feeling like you need to go do that there? You know, like I know one of the questions was somebody that saw, whose cat saw a cat outside, a stray cat outside, and they turned around and turned on their sibling, you know, and is like, rawr, you know, it's a redirected aggression. It's like they're seeing something that frightens them and they turn around and, oh, there's a body I can react on. So we have to look at it from the cat's perspective. Like, why are they not feeling safe? Why, what type of message are they trying to communicate? So instead of being reactive, put yourself in their shoes, sit quietly, observe interactions between the cats and figure out, is there some, is bullying going on? Is guarding resources going on? Like, you have to figure it out and you have to put your detective hat on and become the observer and not the absorber. So yeah. We have to like detach. We have to, and it's hard, right? Because we love our cats. We're cat moms. We assume this responsibility. And when they're stressed, we get stressed. So the hardest challenge, I think, for a lot of people is to be objective and pull yourself out of the situation, like from a 40,000 foot view, and look at it as if you're an outsider trying to figure out a puzzle. So, you know what I'm saying? So you have to go do some homework, and it might take you several days to figure out and watch and observe, you know, when does this happen? Why? What's going on between, did me and my husband just have a big argument and now their cat's going to go pee somewhere, you know? So was there children running around? Were there strangers coming in the house? Are there, you know, is there a lot of noise and disrupted routines going on? Because that can throw everything out. If you add a new pet, if you have a baby, I mean, they're just, make the list, you know, cats are very sensitive, little emotional sponges. Yeah. So they will respond or react to make themselves feel safe. Yep. Sometimes litter box avoidance is because you've changed their litter and they just don't like it, yep. You know, and you could have changed their litter a month ago and they tolerated something until they decided that, you know what, forget this. I'm done. I don't want to use that litter anymore. So you have to just, again, go back and pull, you know, pull back time a little bit, go look at your calendar and okay, what happened between then and now? What changed? Did something change in their environment? Did I just switch something? Did I move their litter boxes? Did I change their litter? Did I get a, you know, one of those automatic litter boxes and now they're scared of it? So you have to just look at it objectively.
Yep.
You know, yeah. And then I love using homeopathy for if there is, well, first of all, if you suspect that your cat might have a UTI, take them to the vet, you know, get it cleared. If it's not some kind of an underlying health issue, then you've got something else that you need to go pull back layers on and do a little digging. But I love using homeopathy. And I'll tell you, one of the favorites, write this down, is Lycopodium 30C. Lycopodium is one of those remedies for cats who develop UTIs or cystitis type of symptoms from fear-related responses. Like they are totally stressed and they're anxious. Some, you know, maybe they smelled cat urine somewhere outside, or, you know, some cat is marking or they're getting bullied. Lycopodium 30C could stave off some kind of UTI problem before it gets massive and you have to go to the vet. But I use that a lot.
That's awesome. I don't think we knew that about that specific homeopathic remedy. That's very mm-hmm. interesting. But it is so true, right? Like, I mean, going outside the box is the number one reason why cats are euthanized, because yes. It's the number one reason why they're surrendered at the shelters, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. and or just let out on the street to go. So it's really, and guys, we're dealing with this right now ourselves. Like for the first time in 20 years, we are dealing with cats that are going outside the box and trying to get down to the root of the matter and figure out what is it. There's a lot of different personalities going on with our three girls right now. And we have caught all three of them going in different places and marking different places. So drilling it down, keeping a journal, trying to figure out what it is that like is causing one or the other to go outside the box is interesting for us as, you know, just regular, we're just cat parents, just like everybody else. And so we're trying to, you know, get to the root of the matter. We don't have like some magic pill that's like, or magic, you know, hoodly doodly that we can put on our cats and everything's fine. You know, we did find out that, that cause they were marking the stove and in the kitchen area a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's a bay window. Well, our back, you know, you've been to our house. So the back of our house is completely windows, basically. And so our cats spend a lot of time there. And they had seen a cat and thought that like they really needed to mark in our backyard, and they needed to mark that area to feel safe, to feel like that cat needs to know they are not allowed in our, you know, they might not go out in our yard a lot, but it is their property, right? Because it's our property. It's one of those things where we kind of have to drill down, figure out the root cause, and then make some adjustments as necessary.
And I do think, you know, Pam, you've been such an incredible resource for us as we drill down, especially as you said, being a detective and really observing, not absorbing, because when it starts happening, it is stressful, right? We've never this issue before. And so it's stressful for us. It's like not just playing detective on which cat is doing what or what the dynamics are, but also where did they pee, right? So
we're like somebody somewhere near here. We have to find it.
But I really want to encourage everybody. Moon Mojo Feline here is in the house as well, another incredible resource, because I do feel like this is not a situation that you just kind of sweep under the rug or try to handle yourself. There are so many partners that you can, so many resources, Feline Behaviorist, Pam Rosella. There's so many things that we can do to reach out to that can help us look at that 40,000 foot perspective. And you know, right now we're in the midst of implementing so many of the things that we are learning, which of course I'm sharing with all of you as we
learn more
on this journey.
And you had said, you know, you had also brought up the redirected aggression. And I know there was a question there where somebody said, well, all of a sudden my cat's fearful of me. Like why would a cat all of a sudden become fearful of their owner? And a lot of times it is also the redirected aggression thing, right?
Well, that, or it could be your energy. Cause like, you know, the time that I think she was saying it's when I come home and he poops on the floor, even though he's had a litter box all day long. Okay, I'll tell you a story. And I learned this from Allie Phillips. It is her story that I'm sharing. She's an attorney who works in cat rescue, family, you know, family violence abuse with animals, you know, helping those people. And she would get so overwhelmed from her job, and she would come home at the end of the day with just, you know, this heaviness and just feeling tired and overwhelmed. She would walk in the door and her cat would vomit. And she was talking to, it's happened like over and over and over. She'd walk in the door and the cat would just vomit. And then finally, I don't know who it was that told her, your cat is feeling your energy of being so overwhelmed that it hits them like a, you know, a strong slap in the face, and they're just like, bleh, you know, as soon as she walks in. So she got a selenite wand, and she would wand herself before she walked in that front door, and her cat never vomited again.
Really? What's a selenite wand?
It's a crystal. Selenite is a type of crystal, and they make them in little wands, or in like, I have a selenite tower in my living room. But it's great for transmuting, alchemizing, getting rid of like negative energy, bad negative energy. So if you just, you know, take a crystal and just wave it all over your aura. If you have a wand, just wave it all over and around you. So you're cleansing your aura before you come in to your home, which should be your peaceful castle, and not bringing all the junk and garbage of the day's stress with you that can just walk in like a hurricane and just overwhelm your pets and go, whoa, where did all this energy come from? I don't feel safe. So I found that just one of those aha moments, you know.
You're gonna have to send us a link or something. Let us know where we can get one of these, because I think that I mean, it's for me specifically, because I'm pretty high anxiety, and mm-hmm. it's the same thing. I can, and I don't necessarily detect my anxiety well.
I do.
If she can, then the cats can too, right? Like, I will just be like, I'm busy, and this is how I'm getting things done. And, yeah. And everybody else is seeing it as super stress. And I'm super like, stress. I'm not stressed. I'm just getting things done. Don't talk to me. Right. And anything to be able to quickly like clear out some of that energy so that it's not transmittable. Mm-hmm. If that's the right word, to everybody else.
It. Yeah. 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 I mean, it could be something as simple as that. I typed in the chat selenite crystal. If you have a local metaphysical shop or a crystal shop, go in there. They're going to have something. Or you can just go online and search selenite crystals and you can buy them online. Yeah. Easy peasy. Okay. Yeah. And they're beautiful. They're white. They're really pretty. And they make towers. I wish I had one in here. I'd show you. But the tower that I have is like, it's this tall. I don't know if you can see, but it's tall. And it's shaped like a little tower. It's cool. And it has a little light in it. And it just, I leave it on all the time.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, we always learn something new whenever we
talk to you. I mean, I love this so much. It makes me so happy.
Kind of on this same frequency, if you will. Yeah. I know there was a question about cats that are suddenly fearful of their owners.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
it could be the energy that you're bringing into that space.
Right.
Wow.
It could be, and here's another, I remember that question. It could be an energy presence in that room. Okay, let me back up. You know, our cats see spirits, right?
Yeah.
They look in corners up in the, you know, in the ceiling, and you're like, what the hell are you looking at? There's nothing there. And they're like, yes, there is. Yep. There could be a little orb of energy that they see that you don't see. And right. So it may not be necessarily that they're afraid of you walking into a certain space. Maybe there's something, maybe there's another energetic presence of some kind in that space, and you just happen to be in the space with them at the time that they see something. And again, it's like redirected fear. It's like, oh my gosh, you know? So it's hard to know, but I mean, you guys, you've seen the videos I've shown you in my house of orbs flying everywhere on video.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's always possible that it's not necessarily you, but it could be your energy. It could be something else in that space. So smudging, get some sage and smudge your whole house and just cleanse the energy in your home. Every single closet, every single room, open up a door, window, so that all the negative energy can flow out and not be stuck in your house. But I think that's very, very smart to do. Even, you know, if you have a high stress home, do it weekly, do it on a regular basis just to cleanse your environment. You know, if it's an energy thing, it would resolve. That can help resolve. Yeah.
And it definitely can't hurt. Anyway,
no.
Right? That's what I'm talking about.
Good.
Yeah. About the holistic approach is just that, like, you can try any and all of these things and it can only help. It cannot hurt. Right.
Right. And you might need a multi-prong approach, you know, for some cases. So maybe just try one thing and know that didn't work. We'll try something else. Try multiple things because something will click, you know. It just really depends on the situation, what you're dealing with. So
I just went back like 5 years to whenever we first met or knew of you. And I remember being so skeptical of holistic energy. We tend to be very spiritual ourselves, but not necessarily ever transmitted that to our cat. So for anyone who is hesitant to believe in orbs, or it's a stretch for you to believe in,
just go look at my Facebook page.
go check out Pam's Facebook page. But I also think that there, for me, it was the baby step of what Jay just said, of it can't hurt. And there's something about whether you want to wand yourself before you walk into your house, whether you want to smudge your home, you're doing something mindfully that is, it's shifting your energy, and you know that. So it's an interesting little snowball effect that happens. And then you can see that. Your cat's respond to it as well.
Well, and also, so let's move on so we can get as many topics as we can. The one of the another common question that we get, and going back to energy, is about how to help your cats through grief, right? Mm-hmm. And we all have dealt with, the loss of another cat, the loss of a human, the loss of somebody some being that has affected our cats as well. And oftentimes, at the beginning of this year, we lost two of our cats very suddenly, and out of the blue. It was not expected, in any way, shape or form for the year. And it happened back to back, and, it was a lot for us. And then when we could take a second out of that grief, we noticed how much it affected our cats. In fact, we're pretty sure, at least, that the sudden loss of Pooh Bear, who we lost first in January, had the grief of his loss had a lot to do with the loss of Oliver Twist. Later, because he just started going downhill the second it was like he was absolutely fine, and then Pooh Bear died and his health just declined rapidly because of this grief, right? Part of it, at least, we believe is because of the grief. So how do you coach cat parents on dealing with grief themselves and how to spot their cat's grief as well, and how to help it?
Well, spotting it is really easy, because after that type of event happens, your cat will be withdrawn. They'll sleep a lot. They won't have their normal energy. They don't want to play. They just want to cuddle together, and they look pathetic, to be quite honest. And they look puny. They're like moping around. They probably reflect how you feel. For a lot of times, we don't have a lot of time to grieve appropriately, because we have to go back to our jobs. We have responsibilities. We can't sit around in a cat bed and, sleep all day, even though we want to, because we need to learn how to process our grief. But that's what they're going to do. They're not going to be their normal, happy, go-lucky selves. Their appetites may wane. Their energy level will definitely drop. They'll just be withdrawn, and just their whole demeanor will look sad and mopey. Color is one of the easiest, quickest things that you can do to support them. The color yellow is a very cheerful, uplifting, happy color. So even something as simple as finding a yellow t-shirt, a yellow towel, a yellow piece of paper, a banana, anything yellow that you can put next to them for them to, seek out, or put on the floor for them to go seek out, it will help boost their mood. And when they don't need it, they will walk away, which is great. So the other thing that you can do is homeopathy. Ignatia is wonderful for grief. So giving a couple doses a day for day two, three, until you see the switch flip, and then all of a sudden they're going to be like, I'm good. I've got my appetite back. I'm more energetic. I'm not sleeping all day. And then you'll know it's good. There's a flower essence called gorse. that you can also apply. Just put some drops on your hands and pet them, especially around their face. Put 4 drops in their food twice a day, because it's really good if they take it internally. And this is just energy medicine with flowers. You know, it's doesn't taste like anything, but again, it's very powerful. It works on an energetic level. But I love those. And then crystals, rose quartz is great for healing the emotional heart. So if you have a rose quartz crystal, you can brush them with it and hold it over their heart chakra. The color pink is also real good support for the heart chakra. So those are just various ideas that you can do to support them in times of grief. And then, of course, managing your own grief, because they're just going to pick up on your energy as well.
Yeah. We always said, and we noticed with the loss of Pooh Bear and Twist that that talking to our cats, right? Like there was no, it's there was no like, I'm just going to come out of this grief. Like I typically am like, oh, I'm sad for a day, but now I'm just going to like keep going. Right. Like mm-hmm. I'm going to turn this into gratitude somehow. And I don't necessarily always go through all those steps of grief, but this one hit us so like in a completely different way, out of the blue, out of nowhere, that we literally had to go through all those steps of grief with them. And there was no like just kind of kicking ourselves out of it. And so when we realized that our cats are also picking up on this energy and understanding what's happening too, we found that they seemed a lot better once we just started talking to them and saying, hey, I'm sad too. You know, I know you miss Pooh Bear. I know you miss Twist. And let's talk about the fun times we had together. And that also sounds a little strange, because you're like, your cats don't speak English, but they understand you.
They do understand. They must definitely do understand, you know. And then for those people who want to go a little deeper, you can always do some energy healing work to remove, you know, those emotional blocks that are associated with that event and that trauma for them, especially if they seem real stuck, you know. And do an animal communication session with them. Check in with them and ask them how they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, what can I do to support you? They'll tell you.
We are so blessed to have so many amazing people, most of who you introduced us to, in the world of energy work and animal communication and things like that. We are so blessed to have so many amazing people in our lives. And at that point that, you know, we were able to reach out to you when we were able to reach out to our animal communicator friends, and get, you know, and have that energy work done. And it absolutely made a big difference, especially with our kitties in those situations.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely.
And then herbs for self-selection.
So use herbs.
Find those happy herbs. I'm thinking like jasmine, something. If you have the Aromatic Cat by Julianne Thorne, she has a whole section on, you know, in the back, there's an index, all the conditions, emotional conditions, grief is one. Yep. So you'll find some happy herbs, like even violet leaf for healing the heart, linden flowers, rose buds. It's awesome.
A shout out to Julianne Thorne and just the work that she does with that book is literally like a little guidebook. I think everyone should have it. It's on Amazon.
It's inexpensive. It's on Amazon. It's really great to have on hand. Herbs are not hard to source no matter where you are in the world. It's not hard to find. You can also grow them yourself, but you can find them pretty much.
It's a very great guide. Like you said, that index. It's not like you have to sit down and read this book to understand herbs. Right. You can be going through it. We use it just so randomly.
Let's look it up and see what kind of herb do we need in this situation. And then we put down a little herb garden.
Yeah. And it's fascinating. You know, again, the people that think like, oh, my cats don't need herbs. Watch. Give your cats a little herb garden and watch the power of self-selection. I think it's really something
crazy. Brilliant. Awesome. It's crazy. Awesome. And we'll put down herbs like in different, Michelle, the name is The Aromatic Cat is what it's, is the name of the book, and you can find it on Amazon. We'll put down the herbs in like the different areas as she, you know, as we were taught to put them down, like make a rug or pull out a rug or a towel or something like that and put them in, you know,
in the corners,
right? So that they can go around. We're not mixing them all together. We're just putting them separately. And then you watch your cats. We just stand back and we see them come in and they're all so interested because we're putting something new down on the ground, right? And they're all so interested and they'll go over and they'll sniff. Some of them are like, I don't need any herbs, and they walk off. And then the others are like, oh, I like this one. And they'll sniff each one and then they'll go to the one they want. And sometimes they lay on it. Sometimes they sometimes they scratch at it and play with it like it's catnip or something, and it's not, right? I mean, catnip can also be helpful, but like they will, it's really interesting to watch your cats self-select herbs and then knowing and then being able to just pull up that book and see the benefits of those herbs. Then you can better understand your cat literally by putting down some herbs. Like it's so
simple. Yeah. And it's also great, like these, like the color ideas and the herb gardens, those are great options for helping your cat feel more secure. So if there is a lot of fear-based, you know, energy, stress, like the elimination issues and all of that, you know, give them some colors to feel grounded, like red. You know, red is great for that root chakra that's like this big, you know, because they're so scared and they're in fight or flight mode all the time if there's bullying going on and things like that. So just finding ways to support them so that they feel safe, you know?
So. Well, you know, we haven't been using herbs that much through this process.
Yeah.
We have to pull out our herb garden again. It's been a minute since we have. So
I love it again, every time we get together, we
get another idea. Or learn something new. So this is,
or remember a tool.
Remembering. No, because we all get in our routines and we get stuck in a rut, you know, and then it's like, why am I not using that? I do the same thing. It's like, why am I not using that?
You know, all the time. Right. It's like the advice that we give all the time. There's so much advice. And then, when it comes to you in the situation, it's like you can't get yourself out of it and you forget all of those tips and tricks that you have used in the past that have worked in other ways it's crazy, but it's super helpful. So this is a great reminder for, and a great lesson for a lot of us that like herbs are, it's inexpensive and a fantastic way to help your cat's emotional health. As well. Now, let's talk about senior kitties, because there were a lot of questions about senior cats. There were questions about CKD, chronic kidney disease, which is one of the most prevalent ailments. My little thumb came up on the screen. One of the most, it's an epidemic in senior cats, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. There was questions about pancreatitis. And then there were questions about senior cats losing weight, which is also a question that we get a lot of. And losing weight sometimes is a side effect of kidney disease and pancreatitis and other issues that senior cats deal with. But let's start with the losing weight, because I saw that a few times. And then let's go on to the kidney disease and pancreatitis and things like that, so we can offer as much value as possible to those that are going through these types of situations. When it comes to senior cats, Dr. Karen Becker calls it the shrinking kitty syndrome. You see, you know, like as cats start to age, sometimes it has nothing to do with these underlying ailments, right? I mean, it is, you know, hyperthyroidism and kidney disease are two of the most common health issues that you'll see weight loss. But there's a lot of cats that are, you know, only 11 years old, their kidneys in there and their thyroid are fine right now. They haven't necessarily completely, you know, started hitting that decline yet, but they're already losing weight. They're like they're losing their muscle mass. Do you see diet as one of the most common reasons behind that?
I think you always have to look at diet and see what kind of protein they're eating and how, you know, is it high quality digestible protein? Is it dry food? Is it wet food? How absorbable is it? How easy is their body absorbing that and assimilating that? So they might need some some pancreas support, some digestive enzymes to help their body metabolize or break that food, not metabolize, but to break it down and assimilate it so that they can convert it to energy and to muscle. Your senior cat might, this is something that kind of struck me, like I remembered it yesterday when I was going through these questions. I thought, you know what? Sometimes it's not the thyroid. Sometimes it's not the kidneys. Sometimes their body style, like especially some breeds, are just long and skinny. You know, it's not that that is abnormal. You have to look at the breed. Like even a Siamese, sometimes their bodies, it's their body style. So I wouldn't throw it like all the time as an answer, but something could be just like their genetics. They're just going to be lean and skinny, but diet is a huge part of that. And then just making sure that there isn't a kidney issue, making sure that there's not a thyroid issue going on that is causing them to burn, you know, all these calories and waste muscle that's not necessary. So I think that is a huge part of that. Rule out an underlying condition.
Yeah.
And then making sure that they are eating really high quality digestible foods. What else was I going to say about that? And you might just need to feed them extra meals. You know, they can, maybe they only eat so much at a time and they don't need two meals a day. Maybe they need three meals a day. So looking at how many calories they're eating every day too, as they get older, they may not just want, they may eat smaller meals and they need like more frequent meals.
Yeah. I think that, you know, when, I mean, of course, if your cat just suddenly starts to lose weight and they're like suddenly,
yeah,
you know, turning into shrinking kitty syndrome, yeah, absolutely. We need a vet visit first, right? Yeah. We need to rule that out. But it is so, you know, that we see so often, unfortunately, I want to say it's probably close to 98% of cats, indoor cats, are fed a dry food kibble diet, right? Mm-hmm. And most people don't know, because of the marketing schemes and all the stuff that you know, the multi-billion-dollar brands put into, that they have no idea that there's like so little nutrition and the source of their proteins is so low quality that their cats are not getting the nutrients that their bodies need. They also don't know that feeding a lifetime of a kibble diet is really messing up their digestibility in their later years. You know, like it takes, sure, you can feed them that and they're fine. And then all of a sudden you're like, what is happening? Why aren't they able to digest these foods? Well, we've been feeding them carbs and starches because the only way that you can make kibble into kibble is by adding a high amount of starch and carbs. And you can't, like, that's not what our cats were. They're obligate carnivores. That's not what they were created to digest. So their digestive system is basically becoming like malabsorbed. Like they're no longer able to absorb the nutrients in their food. And I'm really glad you brought up digestive enzymes, because that is, you know, one of the best ways in my opinion, to be able to start, helping our cats. Of course, we have to switch that diet. That's the most important, right? You can't out supplement a horrible diet, but switching that diet to a better high quality protein. It is a myth that every senior cat needs low protein. No, they're still obligate carnivores, even in their senior years, and they need just need higher quality. And it's not in kibble. You're not going to get high quality protein in those, you know, big brand kibble commercial diets. So we need to increase the quality, increase the moisture, because that's the number one reason for kidney disease, right? Is that it's number one reason for urinary tract infections too. We need to increase the quality, but then add in some digestive enzymes so that we can help them. Digestive enzymes basically go into the body and tell the body, break down the food and tell the food where to go in the body, right? Mm-hmm. And when their digestive system is messed up because of whatever reason, even sometimes age, right? Then it's just processing through, and they're not absorbing, like you said, they're not absorbing those nutrients. So adding in digestive enzymes helps them to absorb those nutrients, and it can help them put back on that weight.
Yes. And I think it's also important I'm glad you brought that up, because if they have been eating a highly processed food all of their life, chances are there's a lot of gut inflammation. Mm-hmm. So that's when you have the intestinal thickening. You know, what happens is that there is so much inflammation in that intestinal lining, and that's where food has to be absorbed and broken down by the microbes and all that good stuff. But if there's so much inflammation in there, that process that would normally happen is not able to happen. So that's when they're not able to absorb their nutrients. So right. We need to make sure that we're not doing things to cause more inflammation in that intestinal lining, in that immune system, in that GI tract. And things like humic and fulvic acids that seal gut lining, things like slippery elm that reduce inflammation along that lining. You know, those kinds of intestinal supplements can go a long way at help restoring that homeostasis there so that it does improve their digestibility.
Yeah.
I think it's also interesting, Judith, I love that she just reminded us basically 90% of cats by the time they're 10 years old will have some sort of arthritis as well. And you're speaking about inflammation. And I think it's interesting, and it should give all of us cat parents pause to recognize that so many to recognize that so many of these epidemics are literally
man-made.
Is in the food, right? It's not giving their bodies what they need. Can you imagine if, let me back it up, Dr. Chris Besant said, you know what, as cat parents, you should just go ahead and assume that your cat will have some sort of kidney disease, unless you're doing something early on to mitigate that. Imagine if 100% of humans had kidney disease. Wouldn't we be like, why is that happening, right? And interestingly, you know, you're talking about shrinking kitty, and kidney disease is so infamous for causing our cats to just waste away. Dr. Besant was mentioning that, you know, cats are obligate carnivores. Their bodies require these amino acids and these proteins and all. They can only come from good quality foods. And so that wasting away, that rapid weight loss, is actually the cat eating its own muscle.
Metabolizing its own muscle.
Right. I think it's a little more dramatic. I don't mean it that way, but but it is.
That's true.
And not to say that, you know, oh, well, this is just a Debbie Downer for anyone who's feeding kibble. No, the studies are showing that just replacing 20% of even a processed diet, fully processed diet, with some fresh foods can really give the body what it needs to be better, longer, and healthier, reduce inflammation, reduce disease markers by up to 90%. Yeah. So I know we're always talking about food and we're covering a bunch of topics tonight, but it is one of those things where it's, you know, it's so simple. It's right in front of us, and it can have such a ripple effect of an impact on our cats' lives.
Yeah, I read a book many, many, many moons ago. It was like before we were the two crazy cat ladies, and he was talking about, in the book, he said, imagine, he was talking about compound interest, right? Because I'm a nerd and that's the stuff I read about. But he was saying, like, imagine I eat a burger every day for lunch. And that's, you know, that's just my burger, my burger, my burger. And then one day I'm like, okay, I'm going to eat a salad, but I still have a burger for dinner, but I have a salad for lunch. And I decided to switch my lunches over time to, you know, once a week, maybe once, you know, twice a week, something like that. I just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, I'm eating salads. Compound interest means that we're, you know, if we consistently do even small things over time, it makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, when it comes to the 20% rule of just replacing a small amount, that's, I mean, it's hopeful for everyone, right? Because it's also not expensive. It's also not going to break your bank to feed your cat some of your food, maybe, right? Your food is much higher quality than the commercial foods that we pick up at the pet stores. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And a lot of those ingredients in the processed foods are so inflammatory that it can contribute to inflammation in the joints for these senior cats. And a lot of things people don't realize, another thing that contributes to some type of mobility, I'm going to say mobility issues, or what you might think is arthritis are actually emotional blocks that are stored in the body and connective tissue.
Wow.
Interesting. I'm gonna book a consultation for myself. I think I have some energy blocks going on.
Yeah. And then, you know, if your cat is kind of looking like there's some stiffness or walking kind of funny or favoring something, don't rule out going to a veterinary chiropractor, because it could be just a simple alignment issue. So having a simple adjustment, or, you know, a lot of times these mobile vets now are the ones who are doing Chinese medicine and acupuncture and chiropractic. So see if you can find a veterinary chiropractor in your area that you can either have come to you or you can take your cat to, and just get an adjustment, because I cannot tell you how amazing an adjustment can be for a cat.
Yeah.
If their hips are getting a little whacked, you know, if, especially seniors, they can jump down off the couch and land kind of funny and throw something out of alignment. And it can be minute, but it can start to look like, you know, a limp or favoring or stiffness, you know. Go get a chiropractic exam.
Yeah.
I've seen the most.
Yeah, I was about to say with all of
them. Yeah, cold laser therapy also, or it there's even red light therapy, but cold laser therapy for Oliver Twist, our vet offered it, and they're just down the street, and it only took 10 minutes, and he was a great, you know, he was fantastic. But we decided to try it because it wasn't that he went up and down the stairs, ran up and down the stairs just fine, but he stopped jumping higher, right? Like, he didn't get on the couches, and he didn't.
And sometimes we catch him going up the stairs, like, kind of
like a old man.
So he was just 18, and we were like, let's see if maybe this can help a little bit. And I remember after the very first session, he got cold laser therapy, and we brought him home. And that night we were laying in bed, and he jumps from the floor all the way to the top of the dresser, our tall dresser. And I was like, did you just see that? Like, I haven't seen that in years. I forgot that I even missed that. Right. Yeah. And then I was like, wow, that's massively awesome. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's something at the conventional vet. Like, it's not some woo-woo stuff and things. It's literally, you know, but it's the same concept. Like, it's the same thing. I loved it. That's fantastic. Also, going back to the digestive enzymes and the question about pancreatitis, you know, even if we are fed even if we are feeding a raw food diet to our cats, unless we are including pancreas in that diet, they are usually not getting, so especially when we're looking at the senior cats, right? They are usually not getting the amount of digestive enzymes that their bodies need from their food, right? Their pancreas should create the digestive enzymes. Pancreatitis is inflammation of the pancreas. The pancreas has two main jobs: to create insulin and to create digestive enzymes. And so adding in a digestive enzyme supplement for a cat that has pancreatitis, for us, that's all we did. You know, our Mr. Biddles was diagnosed with pancreatitis. We just gave him mega doses of digestive enzymes. So, and we used ours, right? The Catalyst, the one cell as well. Link is in the description to check out. Pam's shop, but we get, it also has antioxidant enzymes in it, right? Which reduces the inflammation. So it's helping the pancreas as far as the inflammation is concerned, but it's also adding in the digestive enzyme. So the pancreas doesn't have to do all the work. We can give that digestive enzyme to our cats, or you can feed pancreas. If the cat will eat pancreas, then feed pancreas. There's also treats that are made of pancreas that you might get your cats to eat, which will also help in those ways. I think you were the one that taught us about feeding kidney for kidney disease.
Oh, yeah. Like, feed like.
Yes.
Yes. And here's another thing that I want everybody to remember when it comes to pancreatitis. Even if you're feeding a great raw diet and it's great protein or whatever, and your cat is still getting pancreatitis, I want you to switch proteins for like 3 months. Because sometimes, even though it's a good product, it's just the body needs a break from that particular protein. That protein, I worked on a cat today. I did an energy healing session on a cat today who had chronic pancreatitis. And it turned out that there were two proteins out of the three that she was rotating in that were contributing to that kind of stress. And I'm like, if it were my cat, I would take them off those two proteins for about 3 months and just give the body a break. Yeah. You know,
variety
is not about changing the brand. Look at the proteins that they are eating and change that.
Yep.
Makes a big difference. A big difference.
Well, and proactively, I think, you know, switching up proteins for our cats is just super helpful to avoid a lot of these things in the future too, right? Because it's, every different protein, every different protein has a different nutritional profile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by feeding a diverse diet, we're diversifying the microbiome and helping a slew of things.
I do too.
Crap.
The technology is not our friend lately.
No, it's not. Another, can we go back to seniors for a second?
Yes.
Dr. Karen Becker is a very huge proponent of things like CoQ10 for senior kitties, omega-3 fatty acids for senior kitties, maybe something like PEA, Dr. Judy Morgan's PEA, which is a really good, it's works as an anti-inflammatory. It's good for joints. It's good for all inflammation. It's good for a bunch of stuff. But, you know, just look at how they're moving. Maybe they need some joints, some glucosamine, chondroitin, you know, greenlit muscles, if you want food sources. There's just so many ways you can provide nutritional support and, you know, digestive enzymes. And then things just like the laser, things like boost their mood. Look at color. Look at crystals. Look at herbs. You know, I mean, there's so many things that you can do to support a kitty that's a senior.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Do all of this in conjunction with conventional medicine. If your cat has some type of conventional medicine, you can do this in conjunction and see better results.
But you're right as far as just like kind of evaluating the situation and providing enrichment, a mood boost, right? It is such a thing. I remember Oliver Twist loved roses, fresh roses, and he just it lit him up when we would come home with fresh roses. So little things that can make a big difference. This for all cats, but especially for our senior kids.
And then again, do an animal communication session and ask them, how can I support you right now? What do you want? Maybe I saw over here heated cat beds. Senior cats love heated cat beds. You know, they like warmth, they like comfort. So just find out what they want. Ask them. They'll tell you. I want soft music in the morning. I want to sleep in the sun, you know, in my nice fluffy bed. Can you move my bed over to that sunny spot? I mean, you'd be surprised what they'll share with you when you ask them.
It's true. You know, it reminds me again, we're talking a lot about Oliver Twist, but he was just the best boy. One of the first times we had the opportunity to speak with the animal communicator, they asked us, it was just a short session, and this is who we wanted to talk to. Well, Twist was perfect, so we never really connected with him. So we said Twist, and he was basically like, I'm perfect. But every now and then, my head hurts. And Karen Dundee Smith, she named lumbar, whatever, C5, whatever it was. And so we already had a vet visit planned, and no joke, and she's on his right side, whatever. No joke, Shut is doing the physical exam, and she was like, oh, he's got stiffness right here, and named the exact same one. And we were like,
oh. If we didn't believe before, we believe now.
Yeah.
So never Yep. I'm telling you, it's amazing. It really is amazing.
I cannot believe we were 20 minutes
over. Okay, but I'm ready. But one last, let's put on energy. I think this is so fascinating to watch. We watch this podcast all the time. When we have people over to the home, our house, different cats will have different reactions to strangers. What have you seen as far as like
it's all about their energy. That is exactly what it is. It's something as simple as their auric field. You know, they know someone who is very, very much a cat lover, and their energy, their vibe is really good. And then they know the people who are just like grouchy and kind of closed, or maybe they're carrying a lot of heavy stuff and it just comes off as, you know, a real negative field. Or someone who's indifferent, you know, you've had those people or those friends that are like, I don't really like cats too much. And what does the cat want to do? It wants to go sit in their lap, right? It's like, I'm going to show you that you don't, you think you don't like cats, but you know, I'm going to work on your arc field a little bit, maybe. But it's all about the energy. It's all about their energy. And they know, I mean, just like, you know, if you come home super stressed, riled up, angry, you know, whatever, they're going to like avoid you for a while until you chill, cool down a little bit. Versus if you come home and you're just happy and your energy and your vibe are high, they're like, oh, mama's home. And everybody comes running, you know, and every, you know, they went picked up and cuddled and kissed and all that good stuff. And it's all about the vibe. So I would say, take a look at who's coming over. And you know, animals are very smart. Maybe there's a person that they're like, there's something wrong with that person. And like dogs, especially too, they'll growl like, I don't like that person. That's not a very good person. There's something evil about him or whatever. Cats are the same way. They pick up on people's vibe and they know, they can tell if they're a good person or if they're hiding something or if there's something shady or some, you know, something's off about them. They'll kind of be like, I don't know about him. And I'm just going to go way over here and watch. And I'm not going to let you touch me because I don't like your energy. So I think you just have to look at it again. Like there's an energy there.
Yep.
I think it's true that, you know, we've all met somebody that just makes the hair on the back of our neck stand up. And I think the same, or you meet somebody that you're instantly best friends with, even though it's just so that same kind of vibe, if you will, that's definitely, it's fascinating to watch.
We had a guy, an HVAC guy come, and we always
from a company
use
that we
from
love.
A company that we love. There was a new HVAC guy. He came, he was lovely. He was nice. He was kind.
Very professional.
He was professional. He, you know, didn't say anything to the cats. You could tell that he probably just didn't like or didn't like cats, or I don't know. But the cats were so scared of him. Every single one of our cats were so scared of him from the moment he walked in the door that we had to call and say, can we have a different guy?
Technician come?
No problem with him. He's absolutely fine. It's just that our cats really didn't like him.
Talk about being crazy cat like, ladies.
Don't fire him. I have no complaint other than our cats didn't like him. So
well, it's funny because I was going to say this, and this is all a frequency too, is sometimes it's a smell. You know, maybe someone who comes over has a bunch of dogs and they smell like they're smelling their dogs. I'm like, oh, I don't like that scent. That's a, you know, maybe that HVAC guy just smelled odd because look where he works. He works in industrial situations and, you know, with dirt and God knows what else they have to, you know, deal with. And maybe it was just he smells weird. Like, you know, smell again, it's a frequency. It's an energy.
Yep.
So I think we just have to look. We have to look at things we can't see, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But it's true. Yep. Just have an open mind and go, what am I not seeing here? Let's just sit and observe and look at it from their perspective. And just keep an open mind and, you know, try some things that you've never tried before. Consider some things you haven't considered before. It's fascinating.
Yeah. And we all learn something on the journey. Right. That's
absolutely.
Awesome. I think that's my big takeaway from this beautiful talk. I know we got to wrap it up, but Pam, when you said sometimes when we're dealing with something with our cats, we have to observe and not absorb instead of reacting to certain things or being like, why are you doing this? That power of observation and really looking at their world from their perspective and recognizing the cats don't do anything without a reason. They're not like, they're far more pure than we humans are, and trying to really be that detective to figure out what's going on, observing and not absorbing. You are brilliant as always. We are so grateful for your time.
Yes.
Thank you everyone that has joined us. Thank you everyone that is listening. We obviously need to do this again very soon.
Yes.
Let's do it. Yeah. Oh, look at the hearts. How did this work on your thing? That's so cool.
We love you so much, fam.